Good morning, Down to Brass Tacks, the Thursday edition. It's the 2nd of April, 2020. The number to call, 431-1790, or WhatsApp us at 266-4862, or 266-IVOB. We go until 2 p.m. today. Our producer is Mr. John Stout, and he will be taking care of all things technical. I look forward to engaging you. There's a lot to talk about. I would have been listening to Brass Tacks over the last 2 weeks since my last time here, far more frequent than usual. And there is a lot to talk about. Today is 18 days after our first case of COVID-19 in Barbados. So much has transpired in these last days. If you're not journaling, I'm sure you would have missed a few things. And I'm sure if you're going to tell this story to our next generation and the ones to come, we should make sure we at least write down a couple of the eventualities. Make sure you do what the health officials are saying. In fact, only last night, our acting Prime Minister, the Honorable Santia Bradshaw, would have announced new measures, which according to some were effectively, a lockdown. Some say the government has not gone far enough. But we can talk about that today. But rest assured, folks, we have heard from the health officials repeatedly. We have heard from the COVID-19 czar. We have heard from the Prime Minister herself. We have heard from the international press. We have heard from the local press. We have seen videos. We have seen it all, trust me. If you're following both local and international, if you're following what's going on in the region, we would know that we are definitely in a crisis. Yes, it's a global pandemic. And just only 2 weeks ago, I sat here and we talked a little bit about where Barbados was. At that time, we probably only had about 3 cases. It was that would have been the 17th of March when we heard about our first 2 reported cases. But I tell you, if we were to sit and watch and see what's happening globally, we shouldn't be surprised at where we are today. And I heard repeatedly a number of calls this week on people are not staying home, people are not taking things very serious. And then to see the antics and the facial expression and the intonations of the acting Prime Minister last night said that this is a grave matter that we need to take a little more serious, if we aren't taking it serious, those of you who are not. And we know we have to maintain good hygiene, particularly good hand hygiene, keep our social and our physical distance from others. Effectively, we are told to stay home, avoid unnecessary activity. In other words, don't leave your homes unless necessary. I don't know how much more explanatory that could be. But if you wanted to buy some needles so that you can take the time home and mend some pieces of clothing that you put down for a long time, don't go down to Bridgetown to get the needles. Do without the needles or find an old needle at home. That's how simple it is, but it would help you to avoid coming into contact with someone who might be potentially exposed, who would at this current time be asymptomatic, or who may be at this current time symptomatic but hard airs and wouldn't stay home. So the encouragement is for you to protect yourself. And then this morning, while I was driving here, I heard a presentation. It was an ad, a short ad, by persons in the compromised population, persons who have been battling cancer, persons who have non-communicable diseases, those who have asthmatic conditions and the other like, citing, you are putting us at risk when you leave home. You're putting us at risk when you... And why are we told to stay home? We are being told that because there's a vicious virus lurking across the globe that has found its way here in Barbados. And there are many persons who have left places where it is and have come back home. Incidentally, they've come back to where they lived. They haven't gone straight into quarantine or straight into isolation, as has been suggested by the health officials across the globe. they've continued to walk around and go places and do things thinking that they were okay, but eventually they found out that they had the virus. Some of them haven't found out yet, and they are continuing to contaminate persons. And that's the reason why you're being told to stay home, because if you don't stay home and this continues to fester, Barbados's numbers would not only double or triple, they can quadruple. And we wouldn't want that, because the 14 days that we have to stay home may get extended. And you know what that means? There are implications. There are persons right now who have had to go on layoff because the country is on this, what we call inverted commas, shutdown, or a temporary closure of those services that are not essential. And then that has spill-off effects. Their bills can't be paid, or they can't even feed themselves and their families, and the rest is history. So think about the cascading effect of one person's action. In fact, I saw a video quite recently of an Italian. In fact, I don't know if she's Italian, but she was referred to as Patient 31, who has effectively infected over 1,200 persons by going to a country where, or coming from, being there, being infected, coming back home, not knowing that she was sick. She went to 2 Sunday services, and then she went to work. She did a number of things, normal activity. We are social beings. And then after they did their contact tracing, it was found that she infected several hundreds. So the call again, I heard my brother Corey yesterday. Prior to that, I heard Peter, then I heard David. We have been saying it. Follow the directive of the government of Barbados at this time. Even I was heartened last night to hear the acting prime minister mentioned that the social partners, inclusive of the head of the leader of the opposition, including the head of the Democratic Labour Party, have all agreed that these methods are to stem the spread. I know globally we're calling it to flatten the curve, because if you look at the graphs, the curves are only going upward and then they go downward eventually, but we don't want to see the hump. We want to reduce the hump, which is really effectively reducing the deaths. If you go back a little bit, that's reducing the number of infections and then reducing the number of persons who are compromised who die. Barbados's health services, if we go back 2 months, 3 months when the QEH was under scope, or 3 months when there was the move from the chairman to the executive chairman, we talked about what was going on at the QEH. We talked about what was going on not only at the QEH, but what was going on in our health system. Barbados does not have the capacity to withstand widespread mass, not even an epidemic, far less a pandemic. We cannot handle significant stressors on our health system. Not only do we have the physical capacity in terms of the number of nurses and doctors, we don't have all of the equipment necessary. We don't have the number of beds. If we look at what we have right now, we should all be cognizant of the impact of this type of crisis on our health system and on our people. We have an aging population. So folks, I think I speak very clear, and I hope you understand this is a clarion call for us to stay in our homes, and where we need to leave, do so quickly, get what we need to do, and get back out. I went out yesterday to get a few things, and I turned back from one or two of the establishments that I went to, because I didn't think that the social distancing was being observed. So I went to another location where I thought that it was, and therefore was able to facilitate the needs of the family. And we went to three establishments. But I had choice. I was able to drive there. There's some people who may catch a public service vehicle, and then they turn up and they see a line of 25 in the hot sun, with a little bit of distancing, maybe 3 feet, maybe 4, you name it, whatever. But they don't have the choices. So if you don't need to be in that line, come out and stop being selfish. I think what this crisis has really shored up and shown is that a lot of people only think about themselves. A lot of people only think about themselves. And we need to look inward and see what has this crisis brought to the fore. I mean, I've been reflecting, and there are some significant negatives. We know they start with the deaths, etc., and the loss of jobs. Some people will lose their homes. that's how serious it's going to get, because the effects, folks, haven't fully been felt. You know, they say that when the United States of America coughs or catches a cold, Barbados sneezes. And folks, they haven't gone to their peak yet. Yesterday I was looking at I've been following every press conference, some call it comical, but I've been following every press conference on evenings with the White House. And we can hear the reaction. I mean, I'm a fan of Dr. Fauci. I mean, listening to him talk and tell the story, very plain, very articulate. But you know what he said? If we follow the science and we do as we're supposed to do, if we mitigate, he used the word mitigate about 15 times yesterday. If we do the mitigation, you know what the mitigation is? The staying home, the shutting up shops when we need to shut them at a particular time, doing what we're supposed to do. If we mitigate, we can reduce the number, the incidences of death. And they initially had a model of a possible 100,000. Now their numbers are, they've gone past quadruple in just a few days. So we need to really follow the science. But one of the good things, if I may, look at the silver lining. We have here in Barbados and across the region the entrance exam, which was put back. But beyond that, we also have other students who are learning. They're going through a different sets of syllabi. But they are now forced to go online. And I see that as a positive. Too many students in Barbados, let's just keep it home because it's across the globe, but let's keep it home because there are many schools that are online. But so many students are being forced now to use the technology that they had available before. I know there are some homes who don't have Wi-Fi, etc. But the majority of students in Barbados, I saw a study on last Wednesday, Barbados's penetration of usage of per, what do you call it? Let's say it is showing that we have 200 and, we are like 460 something devices per, in this country with a population of less than, you know, our population is 300. So it's showing that we have more than one device per person, which means that can be used as a learning tool. So I'm saying the Ministry of Education, some good is going to come out of this in the sense that they have been forced to put things on the online platform. And I've actually seen it because as a parent, I'm privileged to receive it. There's something called now the Google Classroom, where the students are actually interacting with their teachers while they're off. And that's a very big positive. But let us be conscious of where we are today. We are in a crisis. And let us look at it from its perspective. Let us be obedient and follow the orders that have been given to us. This is Down to Brass Stats. We have the number to call, 434-1790. This is Lisa Gale. I'm going with you until 2 p.m. We have a number of callers, so let's take the first call. Good morning.
Good morning, Lisa.
Yes, good morning.
Hi, this is Glenn Murray.
Hi, morning, Glenn.
How are you? How are you today?
I'm doing well.
Good to hear that. First of all, I really want to discuss primarily the address to the nation last night by the acting prime minister. But before I do that, I just want to comment on some thing you said in your open remarks, particularly as it related to having people write down for future generations, mm-hmm. You know, some of the things that would have transpired during this period of Barbara's existence.
Yes.
Because it tied in with a comment I made a similar suggestion on Monday, talking to David. I'm glad to see that this video with singing this calypso thing about washing your hands, etc. That's good, entertaining. Yeah. But I think my call was for people to write their experience, do a diary if possible, on a day-to-day basis, your thoughts, your behaviors, what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Because so that we lead for posterity a rich repository of how we live through this period.
Yeah.
We don't have any such record of any other period in Barbados. We have no such record of what transpired in 1854 with the cholera epidemic. So I said, with the proliferation of technology around computers, people can easily write on a day-by-day basis, can write a poem, can write a song, write an essay, write a short story. It could be ground for NIFCA, could be provide material for a crop over.
Yes.
But I'm saying let us therefore benefit from the mistake or the inabilities of the past to capitalize on this so that we'd know we'd have a, it's already have the official statements in the newspapers and whatnot, but I want people to get an idea of the personal, human, individual experiences that are going on in Barbados, all over Barbados now.
Yes, I'm a firm believer of that, for sure.
Good, thank you. Thank you. I'm glad you're reinforcing the point. Now, I'm not clearly the author of the idea, but what you said technically what I said on Monday.
So I said it before.
I
didn't hear you on Monday, so well done.
Right, but I was going to make a comment, but I don't want to get into that. There's other school guys think that for today. No, I like the vast majority of Barbadians, I believe, watched the presentation by the acting prime minister last night on the status of the coronavirus situation in Barbados. And at the end of it, now up to that point, I had been a firm advocate of following the science, trusting the officials, follow the government's program, listen to the experts, etc. But after viewing and listening to and seeing the statement last night, I have some serious concerns. And my first concern revolves around a statement made by the acting prime minister, which he said, I'm trying to quote it verbatim, we have to formulate a national plan of survival for Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
We have to formulate a national plan of survival for Barbados. That's the truth, is it sent chills down my spine. Because the reason why I had been advocating support for the program was because I thought there was a national plan for our survival.
You probably are quibbling with words, but plan speaks specifically to the onslaught of the virus in Barbados. And I think survival speaks to after it has hit, after the numbers continue to rise. I think that's more futuristic, but there is a plan, and we are seeing the plan rolled out. We learned very early what the plan was, which was phase zero, phase one, phase two, phase three. We are now in phase three, which is a bigger scenario, and phase three can go on to for weeks, for months. Phase three can be very long. So I think that as they continue to see the number of cases and put the mitigation measures in place, the plan is unfolding. And that's where I see that reference to the term survival, very different from what the last set of plans they were talking about, on the onslaught. They didn't even use the word onslaught, but I see it as the eventuality of it coming to Barbados.
But I don't agree with that. I'm playing with words. I can only go by what we said. Because I thought that you're a business person, you're a well-trained person in business and planning and projects and implementation. I would have thought that all of this plan that you said is that the plan that is in place had in it a component leading to survival, given the nature, given the very nature from very early of the nature of the beast and how it's been operated, that quite early that your planning will be short, medium, and long term. The long term plan will be the survival of Barbados.
Right. So I'm gathering then that you based on the statement you're getting that there's no plan for survival. They now have to develop it.
She said we have to formulate a plan for the survival of Barbados.
Right. Simple. And I'm thinking what I read from that, and I did hear actually CBC showed it three times last night. I was wondering how comes. But yes, they did show it three times.
Right.
And what I gathered from that was that the plan is in place. The survival now is still being worked through. And I didn't see that as a word.
You don't think there's a disconnection between the two, that the survival should be part of ongoing survival?
I think it should be, and I think it is. And that's why I said the way with words may very well be your issue and not mine, because from what I gathered.
I'm only going by what the acting prime minister said. You are thinking, I am going by exactly what she said. We have to formulate. She's not saying we are in the process, or what we are doing involves a formulation, or we are going to adjust the plan. She said we have to. It tells me, as I was taught to analyze and criticize, it just tells me we have to meet. It's not yet done. It now has to be done.
I don't gather that, but I guess we can wait to hear from other people what their thoughts were.
Okay, fine. But before we don't, let's go, leave on and go on another aspect. Mm-hmm. You said that You also say that you are a fan and admirer of Dr. Fauci. So am I. I like his style, simple, easy, modest, but he gets the message across in a very simple way. And so I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I think the whole world has gained from listening to him. And mm-hmm. by listening to him, and lots of barbers have also told me they are fans of his. So I mean, lots of barbers have their eyes opened as to about the virus and its operations
mm-hmm.
by listening to him. Fine. But you know, he makes his presentation on a daily press conference.
Yes.
I think that we should have a daily press conference in Barbados, giving updates. We're getting into choppy water. The water is turning out. It's getting murkier.
So you're tired seeing Mr. Carter and a doctor and Dr. Best, or the every 2 days isn't sufficient for you?
When last have you had one? I'm not talking about press briefing. I'm talking about press conference where people can ask questions and they really get answers.
Okay, so you want a press conference. We'll call for one then.
Right, virtual. Because I would like to know, for example, where do we stand? And the Prime Minister last night talked about the modeling that goes on at the university. That's informed their thinking and planning and whatnot. But I would like to know what that model has shown. I heard a snippet from a piece from Mr. Carter on the 7:30 news this morning talking about the modeling and the implication of it. I thought that the implication of the modeling should be part of the presentation to the public. So but we're here in a proper way and the context in which it is done. Right? I also would like to have heard in our press conference, what is our status regarding testing? The science has no change. Even Dr.
Explain what you mean by testing.
By testing?
Because the acting Prime Minister did say how many persons were tested. Actually, she didn't call it, but she said out of the
386,
were 45 cases, which shows an 11.7% of the number of persons tested, which was relatively high. So but if right, more people
right,
get
right,
tested.
Right, right. So, mm-hmm. I would like to know, I would like to know what is the thinking out, are we going to increase testing?
They did, because if you looked at the previous day, it was 27 persons who were tested, and then within the last 2 days, that was upwards to just over 100 and something, because there were 297 the day before, and then they went to 386 the following day. So they have increased the testing.
But my thinking tells me, I'm not an expert on this, right? I mm-hmm. admit. But my thing is, if there's that 11% increase in a short period of time, wouldn't that therefore mean that you should be increasing your testing? I'll tell you why. A friend of mine told me they went to a food place a couple of days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And when they got out the door, they checked their temperature. And if your temperature was above a 30, above is above 37, it might be 37, they don't let you in. I think therefore what we should be doing at the banks, at the supermarkets, at any place of it, before we let people in, the government can't do it all itself, but I think where people are gathering and going outside to do things, those things should be tested, and if you're above the acceptable level, that should be required, that person should be set aside, or information that can pass on to the authorities for
action. That's a good call, but I would say resources. And oftentimes we use Barbados vis-a-vis countries that we are in no way scaled capacity similarity of any sort. The resources for there to be persons to do testing. Sorry, you don't mean testing. You actually mean temperature checks. Testing requires PPP equipment and the whole works.
And they are related.
Well,
they're related
because because there has been, well, I believe now there's community spread. We do have to hear the experts. So
there is community
spread. What I can say, I think I agree with the call for the update in terms of the press conference, but for the persons who will ask the right questions to be not necessarily in the room, because you know now that have a virtual press conference.
Virtual press conference. Let me go a step further. I would like to get a status report. Where are we as regard? We have been told that a number of kits for testing, for masks, for the personal protective equipment, all those have been ordered. Where have they arrived? How much do
right,
we have
that
now?
Will come at the press conference. All of those questions will come at the press conference.
But I felt that last night would have been an opportune time in that speech for that to have been
No,
clear.
Last night was an opportunity for the acting Prime Minister to speak to the country.
But speak to the country about the entire management of the process.
No, no. The two are different. I'm thinking the press conference is a very useful call. I agree with you. But I think the address to the nation by the Prime Minister was really basically the update. The next thing now is to have the press conference with the Czar, the Chief Medical Officer,
right.
and all of the personnel who right. would give you the answers to the various
exactly.
questions that you have. Then I can agree with you there.
But you said update. The update could have been, some of the update could have been given in that same address last night for completeness of record. But you let us disagree on that again. So all I'm saying is that we have, given how things are obviously becoming more grave, I think we need to get more regularly informed, a daily press conference with people who can answer questions with the press prepared to follow.
I'm not so sure daily, though. This is in the United States of America with a population of 330 million, not even 30, but 30 million. This is Barbados with 166 square miles with 300 people with so few resources.
So, but you have the resources.
We get in my view.
The resources are difficult.
My view.
We
are getting updates.
You don't need more infrastructure. You don't need more equipment to do a daily press conference. It's already there.
I think we should have an every other day press conference. Or conference. Or update.
All I'm saying. Okay.
But
Because listen, the size of the United States or any other country does not influence the performance, the ravages of the virus.
No, I'm not talking about that. You know good well I don't mean that. I'm speaking about the comparing our resources to the country. That's what I meant when I talk about size and similarity.
But like I said, for your resources and you know the press conference has no impact at all on the program because the equipment is already there. That's how to make people available.
So thank you so much. You've shared quite a bit. You've shared with us your thoughts. I can fully agree with you on the call for a press conference where there's some questions answered, etc. We have different perspectives on some other things, but thanks so much, Glenn. Down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning, madam.
Hi, good morning.
Greetings and salutations to your good self. During the month of November last year, I made a call at another station saying that added to our independence honors should be an award for prominent people and people persons. I mentioned for prominent people the Honorable Mayor Moore Motley and for people persons the Honorable Sancho Bradshaw. It was not surprising to read in the Nation Daily News that Ms. Bradshaw was the people's person of the year. I made that my opening remarks due to the fact that it was not my intention to comment on the coronavirus. But after listening to the address given by the acting Prime Minister last night, she has not disappointed. She has delivered. Therefore, I crave your indulgence this morning to be painstaking with me during my conversation. If you have tried your hand at something and it failed, the next best thing is to try your head. We learn in the world of science there are three types of individuals who are in rebellion against society. The neurotic, the criminal, the genius. The difference between the three are that the neurotic rebels in secret or unconsciously, the criminal openly, and the genius by his creative work is able to submit his conflicts in art or literature or even to change society near to his heart's desire. It will be understood that there is a very loose formulation of a very complex problem. This coronavirus, without doubt, one would have to look at fear and hate or anxiety not only cause happiness, but also sickness and death. Hate and fear can kill. There is a fraternity in society, but there is still an open question. What is the cause of coronavirus? Is there an estimated time for its ending when the vaccine is established? As a layman, it's my belief that it was only a matter of time before the world experienced this serious virus caused by the Americans removing pieces of the moon's rock and bringing it back to planet Earth. Then its first service, it was associated to the black monkey before casting blame on, it was associated with black people, I think, before, or black man, before casting the blame on the gray monkey. And without doubt, some are going to be quick to call me a fool. I would say that I am talking foolishness. These programs are designed to inform and educate, not offend. There is still one consolation. From time to time, some of our academics are accused as learned fools with no common sense. I believe the true object of education should be to train one to think clearly and act rightly. It's my perception that sooner rather than later, a young scientist is going to say that the moon's rock which came on Earth was the root cause for the coronavirus. And in conclusion, the words of the late warlord Sir Winston Churchill, never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. Thanks for your patience as I listen for a response from your good self, ma'am.
Thank you so much, Dr. Brassacks.
Hi, this is Ted Zimbabwe from Starcom Network News. Just to inform the public, in fact, I've just been informed senior members of cabinet will be holding a news conference just about a quarter to 12 or so. Don't hold it to that exact time because, you know, these things tend to sometimes, the times tend to change. They don't always start on time. But my information is just around maybe a quarter to 12. Senior members of cabinet will hold a news briefing for members of the media. It will also be streamed live, and it will also be carried live here on the stations of Starcom Network, just about a quarter to 12. In that, my understanding is that they will announce some major changes to the emergency regulations. Some major changes to the emergency regulations to be announced at a news conference by senior members of cabinet. Cabinet, in fact, is meeting today, and they will have a news conference by Zoom, just about a quarter to 12, so members of the media will be able to interact with them and ask the questions. I know this has been a topic, Lisa, this morning on the call-in program. I saw it asked elsewhere as well on social media. Mm-hmm. Well, yes, there will be a news conference as a follow-up to the address by the acting prime minister last night, just about a quarter to 12 or so. We will carry that news conference live on the stations of the Starcom network. And my information is that some significant adjustments to the emergency regulations will be announced at that point in time. And of course, journalists will have a chance to ask questions to the members of cabinet as well. All right, so you can listen up for that.
Thank you, Stetson. Quarter to 12, we will be locked on, and we would hope to be a part of that to hear as well. I did agree with our previous caller who asked for a press conference. Not sure that I agree with the daily one, but it's very important for us to answer some of the questions that have been asked by a number of persons within the public. We have one WhatsApper here that says, "Dear moderator, I think the measures taken last night are not enough, and they suggested a list of the things that could be actually done to facilitate this change, this further strengthening of the mitigation possibilities." So thank you for sharing that. And we continue to the straight to the home, to the phone lines. Dr. Brassacks.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Bill Gates warned about this
over 50 years ago, you know. No one paid him no mind. No president of the United States paid him no mind. I go on the various websites and I watch a lot of things. And from what I have seen so far, I'm wondering if we are being told everything or if the powers that be are ignorant of what is really going on. Because chances are they might not even know. But I saw in Italy people, old and young, in pampers. Mm-hmm. I saw that. So when I look at the banner for the toilet paper and all of that, it makes you wonder. I think
your background is a little difficult, so if you can kind of fix it.
You can't hear me now?
I can hear you, but your feedback is coming into the phone.
I'm good now?
Not great, but better.
Yeah, and I got to ask you a simple question, Lisa. If you have a cut on your thumb or any finger, would you put a plaster on your toe?
If I'm rational, no.
Now, there's a certain moderator I'm calling in who loves to target certain callers.
So let's not talk about the moderators. Let's focus on today's subject matter.
Now, this thing is attacking your immune system. As your immune system is under attack, I would think the sensible thing to do is to try to boost your immune system as much as possible. Fortify it.
That's what's being told to us.
No. It wasn't said
no,
before.
No. You probably were not listening and following. No. I've been hearing that. They said it is a respiratory disease that is attacking your immune system. So that's why it talked about the persons who are more susceptible to immune failure, which are the older persons and the persons who have predisposed to other challenges, other complications. That's the science that was shared with us from inception.
I was on my way to Bridgetown. And I saw the long line lining up to get into the supermarket. And the vendors, those who selling the vegetables and the healthy food.
When was this today?
Sometime last week. Okay. Hardly anybody was purchasing anything. And I tell myself, well. But then again, if you don't know, what you think? I mean, okay, they didn't have no coronavirus at that time. But you tell them all people live so long because of what they eat. If they were living if they were born today, they can reach probably 40, 50 because of the nonsense, all the fast foods that people are clamoring to, don't build the immune system. As a matter of fact, they have destroyed it. We need to change our eating habit, and the quicker, especially parents who let their children control them, oh, you want this and they want that, and call them fast food name. And bombing to them, let them eat the right foods.
But even if you have a strong immune system, you know you're susceptible to contracting this virus.
Yeah, but that does not mean that you shouldn't take the necessary steps.
Right, agreed. Right? But I'm just saying that this, in other words, having a strong immune system is a good thing regardless. And if you do have a strong immune system and you contract the coronavirus, you have a higher possibility of living than if you didn't have a strong immune system.
I would like to know if this thing was mommy, and if it was mommy, I would like to get my hands on the person or persons who did it.
You think someone on Brass Stats can help you with that, whether or not it's man-made?
Oh, I don't know. By the way, let me say this to you, right? Last time it was about all women, I think. Mm-hmm. I am not saying that women didn't do anything to deserve what they do. All I was asking for is a little piece of men, because I think women have burned the brunt of the responsibility throughout the years.
We spoke since then, though. Just that we didn't talk on that topic, but we spoke since then.
So I don't want anybody to have this thing about I trying to. All I'm asking for is just a slice of the pizza.
Okay.
You can have your day. Have a nice day, and you stay safe.
Thank you, Dr. Brass Stats. We have a WhatsApper here who mentions something interesting. They're living in Atlanta and they're following here closely what's happening in Barbados. And they think they are, they said they're extremely proud of the manner in which the Prime Minister has implemented the measures and the countermeasures to help mitigate the spread of the coronavirus. They said Barbados' size and population does not require a daily press conference. A daily update can be provided by the government to the media who can broadcast it as received. A major news conference can be scheduled at the end of the week to provide a summary and further updates. People need to understand that the coronavirus is a global pandemic, the root cause of which has various theories ranging from bats, pangolins, man-made in a laboratory by the military and not caused by astronauts, as somebody said, as they heard on this program. They said, given the Barbados government's swift and decisive response to the pandemic, from the first two cases to the current, should be commended and not criticized. Unbelievable how, and they have gone on. And then, as I said earlier, some people actually think that we haven't gone far enough. And then we hear that there's a press conference post, which will come after a cabinet briefing, a cabinet discussion today. And as I said earlier, we're in a crisis and we have some moving parts of which we really need to hone down that final best mitigation options that we need. We really do need to ensure we lock down this thing because we do not have the capacity to handle the onslaught of any increased number of coronavirus cases. And I actually saw the first case of when the person, there was a lady who recently was arrested and charged for violating the curfew. And I thought of the police officer who isn't wearing any gloves, who has to hold that person by their hand and take them from the court to the vehicle and take them on to the person was, I think they were granted bail. No, they weren't granted bail, so they were heading off to the prison and Dodds prison. And I wondered, what if the person had contracted coronavirus and the police officer doesn't know? So our frontline persons, we have cashiers and a whole set of people across Barbados who are interacting with the public, and they have no idea whether the person is symptomatic, one, and then they have no idea, they don't even have the resources to protect themselves. So let us be conscious of those frontline persons who are traversing and doing their work. Dr. Brastatz.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We were assured of the utility company's deferral of payments until after the lockdown closed period in one of the first addresses by the Prime Minister.
Utility companies or banks? I heard about banks and credit unions staving off.
I think we also heard about the Lightning Power and the Barbados Water Authority.
I didn't. I did hear about Water Authority. But share with me, tell me.
I think we heard that no disconnections would take place during that period, basically. Those who could pay, I'm sure, would have expedited their payments in the early weeks of the virus notices going out. Yet, as at today, 9:05 today, now that the second address has gone out the first address has gone out by the acting Prime Minister, we're now hearing that banks are closed, only ATM services would be available. The third-party payment centers, they are all closed. Mm-hmm. And at 9:05...
Which third-party? Because I saw a notice last night for
SurePay.
SurePay. All of the different locations.
Those are closed.
No, the notice shares where they will be open.
I spoke with the Massey this morning,
mm-hmm.
and they have said to me this morning that the SurePay facilities are closed.
For Massey? Did you speak to SurePay?
There's no answer from the SurePay.
So you can't say, though, that SurePay is closed if you didn't confirm it. I'm looking for the report I got last night. I'll continue.
All right. With the limited access the payment facilities, I should say then, mm-hmm. because the banks now are closed.
Mm-hmm.
I am concerned that Lime and Flo
mm-hmm.
are insisting or have made positive statements that their customer services will be disconnected if they're not addressed last night. There's absolutely no latitude, no flexibility being
from
given
Flo?
To from Flo. I did take the this morning I did take the customer service agent's name and his number. He refused to give me his last name, but it had been told to me on several occasions because I was trying to get my cell phone onto the CIBC payment portal, and there was a challenge getting the cell phone on because they did not have cable and wireless listed. I know that over the last week there would have been a couple of other callers who came on saying that the cell phone was not listed, and for months I could pay my landline on via the portal, but I actually had to walk into a payment facility to pay my cell phone bill. Now, with the reduction of the access to paying bills, I mean, certainly with the address last night, the board, the chairperson, should have come out at least and made a statement and given some latitude for people with services. I mean, my dad, he's in his late 80s. His wife, they basically don't have online payments. They want to maintain their independence, and they want to be able to go in to the city and cash their pension checks. And
even at this day? Even today?
I am saying that normally they would want to maintain their independence. So with the notice they now have today to cash their checks, their pension checks, but those service bills haven't come out yet.
So I'm trying to grasp where your concern is, because you started on the premise that the payment services were closed and they're not. Someone just said that Carlton is open. Carlton's
Carlton Black Rock?
Sure Play, yes, is open.
Okay, good.
But
so,
but I just want to caution you, if you're not clear on who is open and who's closed, try not making that statement, because it would be totally inaccurate.
All right.
The second part is the persons
from
who
St. Philip should leave St. Philip, catch a bus into town, catch a bus down to Carlton Black Rock in order to pay the utility services.
Oh, that's what you deduced from our conversation?
No, you're saying
What I'm saying, I'm asking if that's what you deduced from my conversation.
No, but you've made the statement that SurePay at Carlton Black Rock is open.
let me be clear for you, because I don't want to use the sarcasm that is coming at me right now. I want to be very serious with you.
And I apologize if there is.
That's all right. I'm also trying to manage my conversation with you. Anyone who has heard Brassats from the beginning to the end heard that they're supposed to stay home.
Right?
We started there. The second point, if you have a bill and the bill hasn't been paid yet, you're saying that there was no flexibility on the part of the utility company, and therefore the person has to rush out and pay at a limited set of payment options. That's what I gather from what you're saying. My response to you is, no, they don't have to rush out today.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to rush out today. I think the person, if you're referring to your parents who are older, they should stay home. They shouldn't leave home. And if they need their bill paid in 2 days, either you or another family member who's younger, who can get around, who can probably go online and see if they can facilitate, they can assist them, but they should stay home. That's what I'm saying. I'm also saying that there's someone who said that there is a Carlton open. I'm not sure of the rest, but I did get a document last night in my WhatsApp that shows a number of the SurePay services, not the online ones, the ones that you can go into. And it wasn't one or two, it was several of them. We have SurePay across the length and breadth of Barbados. So I'm not telling you that anyone from St. Philip should leave St. Philip and go down to Carleton. I'm telling you that people should stay home. This is not the time to be trying to get down to any place that is crowded to compromise yourself, young or old, just because you want to pay a bill. This is a crucial time where you should stay away from persons. If you do have a bill and the bill gets cut off one day, 2 days, or 1 week, you better preserve your health and deal with that bill in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, than try to go deal with it now. And then you'd be scrambling, trying to deal with your health in 3 weeks. Understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Are we clear?
But even with that, do you believe that this provider should not at least exercise some flexibility?
On what premise are you saying this under provider? Because you mentioned Flo. When you said that, I reached out to Flo. I'm currently speaking to Marilyn Seeley, the head of communications. She's the director of regional communications for Flo. I sent her a note and asked her if she's listening to Brass Tacks. She's currently in meetings. I asked, is there any latitude for services? All this while we were speaking. Is there any latitude for services, for flexibility, or for services to be paid online? She said, this will be handled on a case-by-case basis. Plus, our stores are still open. We have people that have not paid from November, and they are now blaming it on COVID. And I say that deliberately because we do have people who will try to find reasons. Now, tell me if you paid your bill last month. You shouldn't be in a panic or in any bind today if your bill hasn't been paid for the month yet. And you just also said that they have not even received their bills yet. So please don't create a circumstance of panic when it is not necessary. And I believe all of the institutions are exercising flexibility. What I didn't say, because I thought I went on a little too long in my introductory remarks and I didn't get to say it, but I commend those entities, two sets of entities, the ones who went on, they put their staff on, they went to work, they had to work from at home, even before this thing got as serious as it did. That was one set. And then I wanted to commend the banks for citing from very early that there will be the moratorium on mortgages and on loans. I thought that was commendable. And I know that the utility services will also seek to assist, because I listened to the 1 o'clock piece from Flo Network News. And they themselves last week, when I was 2 weeks ago, when I was online as well, they also spent some time talking a little bit about expanding the services because they know there are going to be a lot more uses of online, etc. So I think that a lot of these entities are thinking ahead of the curve and trying to put things in place to assist old people, middle-aged people, young people, people who have bills. So that's my comment to you. Don't incite fear in persons who are not even exposed to the media. They may not be hearing it. They may not be receiving the WhatsApps, etc. That would be my response to you.
Well, I don't send WhatsApp that. Basically, I can't confirm. I don't send WhatsApp, period.
Thanks for asking the question. I'm sure this is helping other persons who may have a query. Let me give you a telephone number. 230-1821. And this is a Flo, official Flo WhatsApp. And it says, we can now serve you via our virtual retail store. So they themselves have gone on offline. And they said, add us to your WhatsApp contacts for safe and convenient access to our virtual retail store. And they have three personalized services. One says account and service inquiries. So that would be relevant to you. The second one is purchase and receive a safe and hassle-free delivery at your doorstep. And three, make payments safely on the MyFlo app. And of course, this is if you have the technology. So I hope that this helps you with all of the queries that you have raised.